In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. If one develops this lolyam, or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there is no material calculation for the value of the ticket by which one can enter the kingdom of God. The only price for such entrance is this lolyam lalasamayi, or desire and great eagerness. Reciting notable prayers. According to great learned scholars, the whole Bhagavad Gita contains many authorized prayers, especially in the 11th chapter, where Arjuna prays to the universal form of the Lord. Similarly, in the Gautamiya Tantra, all the verses are called prayers. Again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are hundreds of prayers to the Lord. So a devotee should select some of these prayers for his recitation. In Skanda Purana, the glories of these prayers are stated as follows. Quote, devotees whose tongues are decorated always with prayers to Lord Krishna are always given respect, even by the great saintly persons and sages, and such devotees are actually worshipable by the demigods. Unquote. Those who are less intelligent want to worship different demigods for some material gain, rather than worship Krishna. But here it is stated that a devotee who is always engaged in offering prayers to the Lord is worshipable even by the demigods themselves. The pure devotees have nothing to ask from any demigod. Rather, the demigods are anxious to offer prayers to the pure devotees. In the Nrsimha Purana, it is stated, quote, any person who comes before the deity of Lord Krishna and begins to chant different prayers is immediately relieved from all the reactions of sinful activities and becomes eligible, without any doubt, to enter into the Vaikuntha Loka. Unquote. Partaking of Prasad. There is this specific statement in the Padma Purana, quote, a person who honors the prasad and regularly eats it, not exactly in front of the deity, along with charanamrita, the water offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, which is mixed with seeds of the tulsi tree, immediately can achieve the results of pious activities, which are obtained through 10,000 performances of sacrificial rites. Unquote. Drinking Charanamrita. Charanamrita is obtained in the morning while the Lord is being washed before dressing. Scented with perfumes and flowers, the water comes gliding down through his lotus feet and is collected and mixed with yogurt. In this way, this Charanamrita not only becomes very tastefully flavored, but also has tremendous spiritual value. As described in the Padma Purana, even a person who has never been able to give in charity, who has never been able to perform a great sacrifice, who has never been able to study the Vedas, who has never been able to worship the Lord, or in other words, even one who has never done any pious activities, will become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God if he simply drinks the Charanamrita which is kept in the temple. In the temple, it is the custom that the Charanamrita be kept in a big pot. The devotees who come to visit and offer respects to the deity take 3 drops of Charanamrita very submissively and feel themselves happy in transcendental bliss. Smelling the incense and flowers offered to the deity. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, there is a statement about the incense which is offered in the temple. Quote, "When the devotees smell the good flavor of the incense which is offered to the deity, they thus become cured of the poisonous effects of material contamination, as much as one becomes cured of a snake bite by smelling the prescribed medicinal herbs." Unquote. The explanation of this verse is that there is an herb found in the jungles which expert persons know how to use to revive the consciousness of one who is bitten by a snake. Simply by smelling that herb, one becomes immediately relieved of the poisonous effects of the snake bite. The same example is applicable. When a person comes to visit the temple and smells the incense offered to the deity, he is cured at that time from all his material contamination. Any devotee coming into the temple should always offer something to the deity, fruit, flowers, incense, etc. If one cannot offer anything in cash, something else must be offered. In India, the system is that all the ladies and gentlemen who come in the morning to visit the temple bring so many things. Even one morsel of rice or one morsel of flour can be offered. It is a regulative principle that one should not go to see a saintly person or the deity in the temple without any offering. The offering may be very humble or it may be priceless. Even a flower, a little fruit, a little water, whatever is possible, must be offered. So when a devotee comes to offer something to the deity in the morning, he is sure to smell the good flavor of the incense, and then at once he will become cleansed of the poisonous effect of material existence. It is stated in the Tantra Shastra, quote, "If the smell of the garland, which was offered to the deity in the temple, enters into a person's nostrils, immediately his bondage to sinful activities becomes cleared. And even if one has no sinful activities, still, by smelling such remnants of flowers, one can advance from Mayavadi or impersonalist to devotee." Unquote. There are several instances of this, a prime one being the advancement of the four Kumaras. They were impersonalist Mayavadis, but after smelling the remnants of flowers and incense in the temple, they turned to become devotees. From the above verse, it appears that the Mayavadis, or impersonalists, are more or less contaminated. They are not pure. It is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, "One who has not washed off all reactions of sinful activities cannot be a pure devotee. A pure devotee has no more doubts about the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, and thus he engages himself in Krishna consciousness and devotional service." Unquote. A similar statement is in the Agastya Samhita. Just to purify the impurities of our nostrils, we should try to smell the remnants of flowers offered to Krishna in the temple. Touching the deity. In the Vishnu Dharmotara, there is a statement about touching the lotus feet of the Lord. It is said, quote, "Only a person who is initiated as a Vaishnav and is executing devotional service in Krishna consciousness has the right to touch the body of the deity." Unquote. In India, there was agitation during Gandhi's political movement, because the low-born classes of men, like street sweepers and chandalas, are prohibited, according to the Vedic system, from entering the temple. Due to their unclean habits, they are prohibited, but at the same time they are given other facilities so they may be elevated to the highest grade of devotional service by association with pure devotees. A man born in any family is not barred, but he must be cleansed. That cleansing process must be adopted. Gandhi wanted to make them clean simply by stamping them with a fictitious name, Harijan, or Children of God. And so there was a great tug of war between the temple owners and Gandhi's followers. But anyway, the present law is the law of all scripture, that if anyone is purified, he can enter into the temple. Actually, that is the position. Only one who is properly initiated, who is properly following the rules and regulations, can enter and touch the deity, not all. And one who touches the body of the deity, following such regulative principles, is immediately delivered from the contamination of material sins, and all of his desires become fulfilled without delay. Seeing the deity. In the Varaha Purana, there is a statement praising the seeing of the deity of Sri Krishna in the temple. A devotee says there, quote, "My dear Vasundara, any person who goes to Vrindavan and sees the deity of Govindadev is free from the courthouse of Yamaraj and is allowed to enter into the highest planetary system in which reside the demigods." Unquote. This means that even an ordinary person who goes to Vrindavan out of inquisitiveness and by chance sees the temple, especially that of Govindadeva, even if he is not elevated to the spiritual kingdom, is still assured promotion to the higher planetary systems. This means that simply by visiting the deity of Govinda in Vrindavan, one becomes highly elevated in pious life. Observing Arati and Celebrations of the Lord. In the Skanda Purana, there is the following description of the result of seeing Arati, or worship of the deity. Quote, "If someone sees the face of the Lord while Arati is going on, he can be relieved of all sinful reactions coming from many, many thousands and millions of years past. He is even excused from the killing of a Brahmin or similar prohibited activities." Unquote. As we have already explained, there are different ceremonies to be observed, such as the birthday of Krishna, the birthday of Lord Ramachandra, the birthday of some prominent Vaishnavas, the ceremony of Julan Yatra with the Lord sitting on a swing, and Doli Yatra, the Lord's activities in the month of March. In all festivals, the Lord is seated on a car, and the car moves through different streets of the city so that people may take advantage of visiting the Lord. In the Bhavishya Purana, it is said, quote, "In such a ceremony, if even a chandala or dog-eater, simply out of curiosity, sees the Lord on the cart, he becomes counted as one of the associates of Vishnu." Unquote. In the Agni Purana, it is stated, quote, "Any person who in gladness sees the worship of the deity in the temple will obtain the results of Kriya Yoga, which are described in the Pancharatra scripture." Unquote. Kriya Yoga is a system of practice, much like practical devotional service, but it is especially meant for the mystic yogis. In other words, by this gradual process, the mystic yogis are eventually elevated to the devotional service of the Lord. And now chapter 10, Techniques of Hearing and Remembering. Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane
만나온 사람이야 그녀 나나 사투리 자르니까
Hearing. The beginning of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is hearing, in Sanskrit called Shravanam. All people should be given the chance to come and join devotional parties so that they may hear. This hearing is very important for progressing in Krishna consciousness. When one links his ears to give oral reception to the transcendental vibrations, he can quickly become purified and cleansed in the heart. Lord Chaitanya has affirmed that this hearing is very important. It cleanses the heart of the contaminated soul, so that he becomes quickly qualified to enter into devotional service and understand Krishna consciousness. In the Garuda Purana, the stress on hearing is expressed very nicely. It is said there, quote, "The state of conditioned life in the material world is just like that of a man lying unconscious, having been bitten by a snake. This is because both such unconscious states can be ended by the sound of a mantra." Unquote. When a man is snake-bitten, he does not die immediately, but first becomes unconscious and remains in a comatose condition. Anyone who is in the material world is also sleeping, as he is ignorant of his actual self or his actual duty and his relationship with God. So materialistic life means that one is bitten by the snake of Maya, illusion, and thus without any Krishna consciousness is almost dead. Now the so-called dead man, bitten by a snake, can be brought back to life by the chanting of some mantra. There are expert chanters of these mantras who can perform this feat. Similarly, one can be brought back into Krishna consciousness from the deadly unconscious state of material life by hearing of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verse 40, the importance of hearing of the pastimes of the Lord is stated by Shukdev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. Quote, "My dear king, one should stay at a place where the great acharyas, or holy teachers, speak about the transcendental activities of the Lord. And one should give oral reception to the nectarine river flowing from the moon-like faces of such great personalities. If someone eagerly continues to hear such transcendental sounds, then certainly he will become freed from all material hunger, thirst, fear, and lamentation, as well as all illusions of material existence." Unquote. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended this process of hearing as a means of self-realization in the present age of Kali. In this age, it is very difficult to follow thoroughly the regulative principles and studies of the Vedas, which were formerly recommended. However, if one gives oral reception to the sound vibrated by great devotees and acharyas, that alone will give him relief from all material contamination. Therefore, it is the recommendation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one should simply hear from authorities who are actually devotees of the Lord. Hearing from professional men will not help. If we hear from those who are actually self-realized, then the nectarine rivers, like those which are flowing on the moon planet, will flow into our ears. This is the metaphor used in the above verse. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, quote, "A materialistic person can give up his material hankerings only by becoming situated in Krishna consciousness." Unquote. Unless one finds a superior engagement, he will not be able to give up his inferior engagement. In the material world, everyone is engaged in the illusory activities of the inferior energy. But when one is given the opportunity to relish the activities of the superior energy performed by Krishna, then he forgets all his lesser pleasures. When Krishna speaks on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to the materialistic person, it appears that this is simply talk between two friends, but actually it is a river of nectar flowing down from the mouth of Sri Krishna. Arjuna gave oral reception to such vibrations, and thus he became freed from all the illusions of material problems. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 15, it is stated, quote, "A person who desires unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna, who is praised by transcendental sound vibrations, should always hear about his glorification and transcendental qualities. This will surely kill all kinds of inauspiciousness in the heart." Unquote. Expecting the Lord's mercy. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, verse 8, it is said, quote, "My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim." Unquote. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna-conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna-conscious activities, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word used in this verse is Daya Bhak. Daya Bhak refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna-conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. Remembrance. Some way or other, if someone establishes in his mind his continuous relationship with Krishna, this relationship is called remembrance. About this remembrance, there is a nice statement in the Vishnu Purana, where it is said, quote, "Simply by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities become eligible for all kinds of auspiciousness. Therefore, let me always remember the Lord, who is unborn and eternal." Unquote. In the Padma Purana, the same remembrance is explained as follows. Quote, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, because if someone remembers him, either at the time of death or during his span of life, he becomes freed from all sinful reactions. Unquote. Meditation. To meditate means to engage the mind in thinking of the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the activities of the Lord, and the service of the Lord. Meditation does not mean anything impersonal or void. According to Vedic literature, meditation is always on the form of Vishnu. In the Nrsinga Purana, there is a statement about meditation on the form of the Lord. It is said there, quote, "Meditation focusing on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been accepted as transcendental and beyond the experience of material pain and pleasure. By such meditation, even one who is grossly miscreant can be delivered from the sinful reactions of his life." Unquote. In the Vishnu Dharma, there is a statement about meditation on the transcendental qualities of the Lord. It is said, quote, "Persons who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness and who remember the transcendental qualities of the Lord become free from all reactions to sinful activities, and after being so cleansed, they become fit to enter into the kingdom of God." Unquote. In other words, no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being freed from all sinful reactions. One can avoid sinful reactions simply by remembering the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, etc. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement about remembering the activities of the Lord. Quote, "A person who is always engaged in meditation on the sweet pastimes and wonderful activities of the Lord surely becomes freed from all material contamination." Unquote. In some of the Puranas, the evidence is given that if someone is simply meditating on devotional activities, he has achieved the desired result and has seen face to face the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this connection, there is a story in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana that in the city of Pratishtanapur in South India, there was once a Brahmin who was not very well to do, but who was nevertheless satisfied in himself, thinking that it was because of his past misdeeds and by the desire of Krishna that he did not get sufficient money and opulence. So he was not at all sorry for his poor material position, and he used to live very peacefully. He was very open-hearted, and sometimes he went to hear some lectures delivered by great realized souls. At one such meeting, while he was very faithfully hearing about Vaishnava activities, he was informed that these activities can be performed even by meditation. In other words, if a person is unable to actually perform Vaishnava activities physically, he can meditate upon the Vaishnava activities and thereby acquire all of the same results. Because the Brahmin was not very well-to-do financially, he decided that he would simply meditate on grand royal devotional activities, and he began this business thus. Sometimes he would take his bath in the river Godavari. After taking his bath, he would sit in a secluded place on the bank of the river, and by practicing the yoga exercises of pranayama, the usual breathing exercises, he would concentrate his mind. These breathing exercises are meant to mechanically fix the mind on a particular subject. That is the result of the breathing exercises and also of the different sitting postures of yoga. Formerly, even quite ordinary persons used to know how to fix the mind upon the remembrance of the Lord, and so the Brahmin was doing this. When he had fixed the form of the Lord in his mind, he began to imagine in his meditations that he was dressing the Lord very nicely in costly clothing, with ornaments, helmets, and other paraphernalia. Then he offered his respectful obeisances by bowing down before the Lord. After finishing the dressing, he began to imagine that he was cleaning the temple very nicely. After cleansing the temple, he imagined that he had many water jugs made of gold and silver, and he took all of those jugs to the river and filled them with the holy water. Not only did he collect water from the Godavari, but he collected from the Ganges, Yamuna, Narmada, and Kaveri. Generally, a Vaishnav, while worshipping the Lord, collects water from all these rivers by mantra chanting. This Brahmin, instead of chanting some mantra, imagined that he was physically securing water from all these rivers in golden and silver water pots. Then he collected all kinds of paraphernalia for worship, flowers, fruits, incense, and sandalwood pulp. He collected everything to place before the deity. All these waters, flowers, and scented articles were then very nicely offered to the deities to their satisfaction. Then he offered arti, and with the regulative principles, he finished all these activities in the correct worshipping method. He would daily execute similar performances as his routine work, and he continued to do so for many, many years. Then one day the Brahmin imagined in his meditations that he had prepared some sweet rice with milk and sugar and offered the preparation to the deity. However, he was not very satisfied with the offering because the sweet rice had been prepared recently and it was still very hot. This preparation, sweet rice, should not be taken hot. The cooler the sweet rice, the better its taste. So, because the sweet rice had been prepared by the Brahmin very recently, he wanted to touch it so that he could know whether it was fit for eating by the Lord. As soon as he touched the sweet rice pot with his finger, he immediately was burnt by the heat of the pot. In this way, his meditation broke. Now when he looked at his finger, he saw that it was burnt, and he was wondering in astonishment how this could have happened. Because he was simply meditating on touching the hot sweet rice, he never thought that his finger would actually become burnt. While he was thinking like this, in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, seated with the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, began to smile humorously. On seeing the smiling of the Lord, all the goddesses of fortune attending the Lord became very curious and asked Lord Narayan why he was smiling. The Lord, however, did not reply to their inquisitiveness, but instead immediately sent for the Brahmin. An airplane sent from Vaikuntha immediately brought the Brahmin into Lord Narayan's presence. When the Brahmin was thus present before the Lord and the goddesses of fortune, the Lord explained the whole story. The Brahmin was then fortunate enough to get an eternal place in Vaikuntha in the association of the Lord and his Lakshmis. This shows how the Lord is all-pervading, in spite of his being locally situated in his abode. Although the Lord was present in Vaikuntha, he was present also in the heart of the Brahmin when he was meditating on the worshipping process. Thus we can understand that things offered by the devotees even in meditation are accepted by the Lord, and they help one achieve the desired result.
Nirmasarau pujitam Nana shastra vicharanaikanipunam.
And now Chapter 11, Aspects of Transcendental Service.
Tribhuvane Mannam saranyakanam.
Servitorship. In the opinion of the karmis, or fruitive workers, offering the results of karma is called servitorship. But according to Vaishnava acharyas like Rupa Goswami, servitorship means constant engagement in some kind of service to the Lord. In the Skanda Purana, it is said that those who are attached to ritualistic activities, the four orders of social life, and the four orders of spiritual life are considered devotees. But when devotees are actually engaged in offering service to the Lord directly, these must be Bhagavatas or pure devotees. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities or prescribed duties, according to the four orders of social and spiritual life, are not actually pure devotees. But still, because they are offering the result to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. When one has no such desire but acts spontaneously out of love of God, such a person must be accepted as a pure devotee. The conditioned souls who have come into contact with the material world are all more or less desirous of lording it over material nature. The system of vanashram and the prescribed duties under this system are so designed that the conditioned soul may enjoy in the material world according to his desire for sense gratification and at the same time gradually become elevated to spiritual understanding. Under these prescribed duties of varna and ashram, there are many activities which belong to devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those devotees who are householders accept Vedic ritualistic performances as well as the prescribed duties of devotional service because both are meant for satisfying Krishna. When householder devotees perform some Vedic ritualistic duties, they do so to satisfy Krishna. As we have previously discussed, any activity aiming at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami describes one who is fit for becoming engaged in devotional service. He says that persons who are neophytes and who have developed a little love of Godhead are not interested in the activities of sense gratification in proportion to their devotion. But if there is still some attraction for sense-gratifying activities, then the result of such activities should be offered to Krishna. This is also called engagement in the service of the Lord, with the Lord as the master and the worker as the servant. In the Naradiya Purana, there is a statement of how this servitorship is transcendental. It is said there that a person who is constantly engaged in devotional service by his body, mind, and words, or even a person who is not practically engaged but is simply desiring to be so, is considered to be liberated. Devotional service in friendship. Devotional service in friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as the confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. The devotee who has confidence in devotional service to the Lord systematically follows the rules and regulations with the faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. The second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord accepts a preacher as the most dear servant. Anyone who is preaching the confidential message of the Gita to the people in general is so dear to Krishna that no one can be equal to him in human society. In the Mahabharata, Draupadi says, quote, "My dear Govinda, Your promise is that your devotee can never be vanquished. I believe in that statement, and therefore, in all kinds of tribulations, I simply remember your promise, and thus I live. Unquote. The purport is that Draupadi and her five husbands, the Pandavas, were put into severe tribulations by their cousin brother Duryodhana, as well as by others. The tribulations were so severe that even Bhishma Dev, who was both a lifelong brahmachari and a great warrior, would sometimes shed tears thinking of them. He was always surprised that although the Pandavas were so righteous and Draupadi was practically the goddess of fortune, and although Krishna was their friend, still they had to undergo such severe tribulations. Though their tribulations were not ordinary, Draupadi was not discouraged. She knew that because Krishna was their friend, ultimately they would be saved. A similar statement is there in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, verse 53, where Havi, the son of King Rishabha, addresses Maharaj Nimi. Quote, "My dear king, a person who never deviates even for a moment from engagement in service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, engagement which is sought even by great demigods like Indra, with firm conviction that there is nothing more worshipable or desirable than this, is called the first-class devotee." Unquote. Sri Rupa Goswami says that a neophyte devotee who has simply developed a slight love of Godhead is certainly a prospective candidate for devotional service. When he becomes firmly fixed in such devotional service, that assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. Sometimes it is found that a pure devotee lies down in the temple of the Lord in order to serve him as a confidential friend. Such friendly behavior of a devotee may be accepted as raganuga or spontaneous. Although according to regulative principles, no one can lie down in the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this spontaneous love of Godhead may be grouped under devotional service in friendship. Surrendering everything to the Lord. Regarding complete self-surrender, there is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verse 34, where the Lord says, quote, "A person who has completely surrendered unto me and has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. In other words, I wish to help him become more and more advanced in spiritual life. Such a person is to be understood as having already achieved sarshti, or having equal opulences with the Supreme." Unquote. ¶¶